Moritz Mohr is a German writer-director making his feature directorial debut with Boy Kills World, a dystopian fever dream action film that follows Boy, a deaf mute with a vibrant imagination. When his family is murdered, he is trained by a mysterious shaman to repress his childhood imagination and become an instrument of death. Boy Kills World is in Australian cinemas, May 2. Moritz, thank you so much and welcome to the For Your Reference podcast.
Thank you for having me.
What a film. I am very excited. just need to shake it out and get it out there. We will get to Sam Raimi. We will get to the amazing cast, including Bill Skarsgård. But I want to learn a bit more about you, and I'm sure our friends and lovers would love to learn a bit more about you as well. As far as I understand, you've been a lover of film, whether it was working in a video store to studying in Europe as well as America in film. I would love to hear perhaps your long, perhaps your complicated love letter to film.
All righty. So I always liked movies, like movies, right? Like as a kid, Star Wars, Indiana Jones. That's cool. That's fun. But my wake up call for movies was, I think I was around 15 when I had my three friends, my video friends, like we always watch movies together. And at one point they introduced me to a John Woo movie called A Better Tomorrow.
Okay.
And it's this Hong Kong heroic bloodshed action movie with Chow Yun-fat. It's a freaking classic. It's amazing. And when I first watched that, there's this amazing scene where Chow Yun-fat walks in his cool trench coat. Walks to a restaurant in slow motion, and then the door slides open. He pulls out his two guns and shoots everybody in slow motion. And that's sort of when I went from liking movies to loving movies. That was like, oh, this is amazing.
Like, and this is, I feel something.
Yeah. The stylized action, and this is just, it blew me away. So 2 years later, I started working at the local video store. Got my hands on more stuff, which was hard back then, right? Because no internet, no nothing. So you really sort of had to watch what was there. And
you have to remember to rewind the tapes before you return it as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I had to do that a lot of times. And it was a very small town. We didn't have a lot of customers. So I was basically watching movies all day, and every half an hour, a customer came in and I was like, stop. All right. How are you doing? And then I had to work for a bit, but it was mostly watching movies. And from there, I went to film school, which where I studied directing in specializing in advertising because they wouldn't want to have me for feature. And that was good. It was actually good. And
you're advertising yourself now. Look at that.
Exactly. But the first movie I shot in film school was a zombie movie. So, and that is, it, back in the day, it was pretty special for Germany because they love horror movies and action movies, but they don't produce them themselves. Like, okay. There's only been like a few big horror movies in the past 30 years. It all sort of slowly now starts to change because of streamers, and they're actually doing some experimenting in that regard. But it's like, if you want to be make an action movie or a horror movie, I tried for like, I guess 10 years to make one, and it just didn't pan out. That's when I knew, I like, after that experience, basically after film school, I knew I needed to go to the US if I wanted to do anything in that area. And that's when Boy Kills World started for me.
Yeah. And it's so cool to hear, because at WonderCon, and also cool watching like interviews with you and Sam as well. But there was talks of the film being in 7 or 8 years of development. Okay. I think you said your son was one when the concept trailer was.
he was standing next to the set in a little, what are they called? The cages? No, not the cages. The little where they can't get out, and I don't know, like a baby little
a baby gate.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I don't know. Like, you put them in and they can't run away. That's the point. And it was in a very, very dirty, dirty basement where we shot. So it was like that one piece of the set that was super clean and super nice and was just there while shooting. And his mom was doing the makeup.
It was a family production. I love that.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it was friends and family. Exactly.
Yeah. A family production with complicated family feelings in the film.
Yeah. As I always said, it's a family movie, basically.
Absolutely. Just no context. I want to talk about tone for a second. I think of, it's like a Swiss-French film. It's called Mad Heidi, and that was an independent film, and it was a lot of fun.
I've not watched it, but a friend of mine wrote it, so that's funny.
Oh. Well, how have I watched it and you have it and they're your friends?
I also feel bad about it, but
that's okay. We can cut it out and pretend. But like Mad Heidi was, because we are an independent film podcast and it was an independent filmmaker. They reached out to us being like, hey, we've made this film. Would you like to review it? And you never really know what you're going to get, but it's always a very exciting time in the, like being an indie podcast. Yeah. But when we watched that film, we were like, this is a lot of fun. So I'm glad you understood that reference. And, you know, even Bullet Train as well is also a lot of fun. So when we watched the trailer of this, we didn't know what we were getting into. And when we were watching it, it was so much fun. My partner at IoT, we live in the world of, like, we're just like, whatever it is, we're going deep into it. If the world is ridiculous and you tell us the rules, we're deep into it, you know? And nice. I think tone plays a very big role, and it definitely played a big role in Boy Kills World. And there were a lot of things that happened. I don't want to spoil, but there are a lot of things or scenes or lines that informed you very early in the film. This is the ridiculous, beautiful, gorgeous, explosive world we're going to get into. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I think also, hearing you speak about how much you love different films, whether it's Hong Kong cinema or even just general action or horror in general, how was it finding a way to balance a multifaceted tone that we get in Boy Kills World?
It's definitely been a task, and it was a source of headaches for the entire production, where you were like, or is this, should this moment be funny or dramatic?
Yeah.
And, especially when you have a voiceover, you can change things in the edit still, because you're like, all right, we can actually re-record that line to be more serious. So it gives you a lot of freedom, but that's a blessing and a curse at the same time. So you can do all that, and then you try to balance and you make decisions and go like, all right, the beginning, less funny, more serious now. The ending was always serious. There was never like a big jokey thing. The film sort of grows increasingly more serious as it continues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, balancing that is hard. And I hope I did well. But yeah, it was always like something you had to keep in mind. And I'm still like, the mixing of genres and tonalities is something I really like. There are few filmmakers who do that well. And I'm aspiring to, like, that's what makes a movie exciting to me. If things happen that you don't expect, and if you can sort of subvert the genre for a moment and do something else and change the tonality and without losing the audience, that's the goal.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to feel like I chase tone instead of genre, which is a lot more fun to discover. And you can watch different sorts of films and be like, oh, okay, this is good. And it was so fun just watching the trailer, because we love Archer and Bob's Burgers. And like, I think it was one word. I don't remember what the word was in the trailer. And I said to OT, this is H. John Benjamin. I was like, this is like this is not a drill. Shut it down. This is H. John Benjamin. Yeah.
The R-rated trailer starts with lovely.
There you go.
It was
yeah. And I was like, I am in. Like, I knew Bill Skarsgård was in it, but I was like, I am in. I need to see this screener now. Absolutely. We woke up at like 5 a.m. to watch the screen. which was a beautiful way to start the day, by the way.
Nice. That's awesome.
You've talked a little bit about narration, and I've just splooshed all over. That's an Archer reference, but you can just enjoy that reference in general. But I just splooshed all over hearing H. John Benjamin. How was it? Because I think in a couple of interviews you talked about the narration coming post, like, filming as well. Did that provide a little bit of elasticity?
The narration itself didn't come post post editing. It was the concept, like I told you about the proof of concept trailer that we shot 2016, and that idea of the young boy and the old voice that sort of there from the start. It was sort of our thing that we were like, all right, we're going to make a revenge movie, but what's special about it? Like, what makes it more interesting for us as filmmakers and hopefully for the audience too? So that's when that idea was born. But obviously, when you start editing and you record a voiceover, a layout voiceover, and then you start editing with it, and then you're like, all right, that kind of works. And then you record it for real, and then you tinker with it, and then you re-edit, then test screenings, then you get the first audience reaction, then you re-edit again. So it's a really process, and that's where we realize, oh wait, that scene doesn't work for some reason or another. Is it the voiceover, or can the voiceover help make it work? So that's the curse and the blessing, because you can change, like, up until very long. If you shoot a movie with like normal dialogue, you're sort of bound to the dialogue that you actually film.
It feels very literal. Yeah. I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we haven't really had time to talk about Bill Skarsgård. Imagine an interview where I'm just focusing on H. John Benjamin. but I do want to talk about Bill Skarsgård, because he is one of the most exciting character actors that we've seen in the last couple of years. And to know that he is at the helm and this is like another exciting project that he has. And perhaps, I know one of the producers worked on The Barbarian as well. I'm not sure if that's the connection. But I'd like to hear about what it was like working with Bill Skarsgård.
It was fantastic. Like he's such a brilliant actor, and the whole like being mute and not being able to talk, and that is a challenge. Like for every actor, and you might go like, oh, but you don't have to learn the line. That's easy. No. You actually have
to express.
Learn, you have to know the lines, you have to express them. Then there's this added thing where you actually have to, you know, the lines will be delivered in a voiceover, but so you still have to get the timing right and all that. So that was a bit of a hustle and sort of unusual for everybody involved. But we sort of on set, we managed. And just sort of so that's basically when we cast him, it was, yeah, he's a great actor. He's amazing. He's such an expressive face. Like that could be like really, that really works in our favor. This is amazing. But we didn't know, if he could do the action parts. And, when you do an action film like that, that is sort of, you really want somebody to perform like a lot of it to keep it authentic, right? So if you have to double the guy every time he moves or jumps up over something, then it's you can feel it in the end, and really you can really tell. And because you have to film it in a certain way, so you don't see the face and stuff, and we can't afford like full facial replacement digital one, so. We really want somebody who could do it. And Bill promised. Basically, promise was like, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to get ripped. I'm going to train. And basically, every action scene is sort of a dance number. So you have to learn the choreography. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of work. And Bill put in so much time and so much effort. And he really he almost over-delivered in the during the shoot, and it was just like we really wrote him hard, like just for the time, and we it was not easy for him.
We're splooshing, we're riding hard, we're having a very good time. I'm getting wrapped up for time. Thank you so much. Also, shout out to Andrew Koji as well as Isaiah Mustafa. I want to finish off with my final question. We finish off our reviews with a recommendation. What would you pair with Boy Kills World as a double feature?
That's so hard. That's so hard. Wait.
Say Mad Heidi?
Sure. Watch Mad Heidi.
Okay, great. Rich, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.